You got to accentuate the positive. Wow! I feel good. A little bit of feel good goes a long way.
You're listening to Karen Swain, teacher of deliberate creation, accentuating the positive, showing you a way to a better life.
Accentuating the positive, it's not just fad, it's sanity. Who in their right mind would accentuate anything else?
If you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hello, hello. Karen Swain here, accentuating the positive. So great to be with you on another live show on the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We're streaming out of 107.7 FM and 105.3 FM out of New Orleans across the United States and Canada. And also we're streaming across the internet on my YouTube channel, Karen Swain, and through the UFO Paranormal Networks and on Facebook as well. So great to be with you. Happy Easter. It's the Easter long weekend in the States, a Sunday afternoon, evening for you guys, and a Monday morning down under for us. So I hope you had a great Easter. If you celebrated or not, you just had a great weekend relaxing. We're still in summer down under and the beach is still beautiful. The water's getting a bit cold. But today we're going around the world and we're talking about activism. I've got the fabulous Michelle Dado Millen, who is a producer of a documentary that came out a couple of years ago, on to talk with us. So I'm going to bring Michelle up. Hey, Michelle. So great
Hi.
To see you.
Nice
Welcome
to, see you
to the
too.
Show.
Thank you for having me.
I just love this documentary. Let me tell you a little bit about Michelle and who she is and what she's on about. So Michelle Dado Millen is a qualified animal nurse who has paralleled her visual storytelling and design career with environmental and animal wildlife rescue and care work with advocacy and activism. And she's the producer of the documentary, The Power of Activism. I'm going to cry because I just saw it again recently and I just get so emotional with this whole thing, which shines a positive light on a group of six young Australian female activists who risk it all to change the future thinking of governments and major companies. In a true David versus Goliath style, these inspirational women, who include scientists and conservationists, challenge the outdated thinking and practices that contribute to polluting our world and what has been called climate change, which is in itself a controversial issue. The ultimate focus is on education and empowerment, proving that beyond the benefits of to land and health, changing ways we farm, fuel and build, the work of these women has a tangible definition, economical benefits, which is a part of the film which I'm not really into, but it was so interesting how many people are into the money side of this, which we'll talk about. Steve Pavlovsky, I don't know if I said, have I butchered his name, Michelle?
Pavlovsky.
There you go.
Pavlovsky, yeah.
He's Polish. The director. Polish. He's yeah. the director. And Michelle worked collaboratively on this, knowing they wanted to have a point of difference in this film. So during the development, they asked the question, how do we switch people on who aren't listening? Because, yeah, there's like so many documentaries out there telling you what's going wrong in our world. And as they come out and bombard us, people just go, oh, another documentary telling us what's wrong. So you sat down and thought, well, how do we switch people on? So many documentaries talk about the problems we face in the world, leaving people feeling overwhelmed and thinking that the problems are too big for one person to make a difference. Michelle wants viewers of the film to feel empowered in their individual ability to drive change and to learn from these everyday women who are doing just that. And the website is thepowerofactivism.com. Michelle.
Yes.
How did this all start? I've got a million questions. How did you meet the women? How did you start? Like, what was the birth of, like, making this documentary?
Well, the birth of it, I guess, was in me, in that I wanted to do something. Like, what can I do? And it was a culmination, as you say, really, I feel like all my life I've been in the nature, loving, wanting to protect, restore, be involved, get involved. So from as early as I can remember, I've always been volunteering and, you know, like as I got older and started working in the film and TV theatre industry, I, you know, became some of the work I actually did was working on shows that were animal or nature based and involving issues. So doors just started to open and I got more and more aware of all the problems that are going on and what's caused them and just wanted to do all I could, you know, with the skills I had. And as you say, I became an animal nurse. That is out of a love of animals and just wanting to do what I, you know, to gain those skills so I could, you know, take on rescue work and wildlife work and obviously work in clinics and hospitals. And now that we're up in the country, I have my own animals. So just always trying to increase my knowledge and find ways to help. So the film came to be because I just felt that was a really good way to engage and inspire. I mean, storytelling, having worked in the industry of storytelling as a production designer alongside producers, directors, writers for over 35 years, I know how audiences are, you know, I've seen them come out of many a project I've worked on and just whether it's been theatrical or a film or having watched the show, a TV show and getting feedback from that. Feeling inspired, engaged, wanting to do something, had feedback from people saying that, you know, that was amazing and it's made me want to do this. So obviously it's a very powerful medium and I just knew that there was a way to create something that was going to engage and inspire audiences on a national and global scale, and I guess that's what we've done. It's been a labor of love. Steve and I had earlier iterations of this in terms of really it goes back probably 15 years when I first became aware of, because I was always thinking what's the best way to do this, you know, like again, so many documentaries are out there that are in the space of environmental conservation and they're wonderful, and I obviously have incredible inspiration from people like David Attenborough, Jane Goodall, Steve Irwin, you know, just to name a few, David Suzuki, so many fabulous wildlife warriors. But it was about how do we switch? Why aren't people getting it? Why aren't more and more people coming on board? And I think when I first I was watching lots of documentaries myself, and I think a switch went on for me when I watched the documentary Shark Girl, and that was on the ABC here in Australia, and it was with Madison Stewart, who features in our film, and it was her. She was a young Australian, passionate about sharks and saving them. And I saw this film and she was just so positive and so inspiring and so young and confident, and she was all about the solutions. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I thought something went on inside me and I went, wow, she's amazing. I need to meet her. There's something in this. It was, and that really was the beginning of it in terms of the where we got to with the film now. Yeah. So I reached out to Madison. And I met with her, and this is going back, you know, probably 10 years when I first had a conversation with her. And I already had I knew that I wanted to make a series, a TV series, which is what we were originally going to do, or a film, wasn't sure which. And I just knew I needed to find the right people, right? The people, having seen Madison, I thought, there's got to be more like her who are out there on the front line doing amazing things that have this incredible energy and ability to switch people on. So I met with her, and she was she's quite a presence, but incredibly humble and natural. The other thing I really liked is how natural she was, you know, and I'm not a skerrick of makeup, and just so wholesome and healthy and driven and smart and passionate and a nature lover just like me. So I guess I seeing Madison, it's, you know, it was kind of like looking at my, I feel like in a way I'm one of all of these young women, because I feel like I've been trying to since their age, which is the 20s and early 20s when I first connected with them all. It's that's what I've been trying to do, is kind of get involved and do what I can do. So I guess Madison started the ball rolling, and then from there I found the others, and she knew a couple of them, and I knew the issues I wanted to cover. I knew that the other message that was really important to me was to really make people aware that all these issues are causing climate change. It's a cumulative impact. So it was very important for me to have all the issues in the film and really connect them all and make people realize how interconnected everything is, and that, you know, human, economic and environmental health are one and the same thing. So I guess that's where it all began, and it's a process. Like, Steve came on board in 2018. I reached out to him because I know his integrity and his work, and knew him from when my husband and I taught at the Australian Film TV Radio School. He was a student there, and we've been friends ever since. And he makes beautiful documentaries, more in the social impact space, but this is social and environmental impact, because it's one and the same thing. But I just knew he was the right person to collaborate with, and sure enough, he surely was. And we did we collaborated beautifully and complemented each other beautifully, and the end result is the film we made. Oh, I can't hear you, Karen. Can't hear you.
Gosh, I mute there myself. I mute myself so I can cough and fart and do all that stuff and nobody hears it. Anyway, I've got so much to say about this, because we just had the Ocean Lovers Festival last weekend here in Sydney. Michelle came down for it and played the documentary there, and so I got to watch it again. I think it was probably almost a year ago that I saw it. When did you have the screening in Dungog?
Well, literally, we did it in, we had the first screening, which was really a celebration of, we finished the film, and it was really kind of the very beginning. Then thereafter, we began to get it out there. That was March 22. Yeah, wow. And that was more of a celebration just with the community. But that would have been when you saw the very first screening of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. And so watching it, my daughter was there, who is a powerful shark activist. She knows many of the girls that are in your film. And Alice was there, one of the girls doing a Q&A, and Steve and yourself. And also, is it Kristen?
Kirsten, the actuary, yeah, Kirsten.
Kirsten, the actuary. And it was fabulous to see it again. And it was interesting to hear the comments from the audience and how it engaged people and inspired people. I think it was 10 years ago that I watched a documentary called Peace One Day, about creating a day of peace across the world to create a difference. And that got me into action. And I started going to Peace Day festivals, and then realized that there is an International Day of Peace that nobody knew about across the planet. Mm. And I thought, why don't people focus on peace? Why are people like not interested in peace on the planet? Like, why? And so we put on 10 years ago this year, a big Peace Day festival, and that sparked a whole lot of things. So, yeah, movies can really get you into action. Documentaries can really get to it. And watching it with my daughter, she just felt so like energized to get into action after watching it. So it was just fantastic. I was going to ask you the question, how did you find the girls? But you've already answered that. So you reached out to Maddie after seeing Shark Girl, and then she put you in contact with some of the girls. And
I already knew, because being in the space and being in, really interested, I already knew about a lot of obviously the foundations, and I'd reached out to a lot of the conservation foundations and organisations, because I was, you know, whether I was donating or volunteering, and so I already knew of some of them. Boomerang Bags I knew about, because I started that in my own town, and that is a story within the film, because so Boomerang Bags and co-founder of that, so I knew I wanted to reach out to her, and that's lovely Jordan. Alice, actually Madison did mention Alice to me because I was wanting to focus on other aspects of the ocean and plastic, and I wanted the scientist, researcher, marine biologist, and all those things are Alice. She's really our resident scientist on the team. Jordan too is an environmental scientist. Although she doesn't like to say that, she says she's an environmentalist. She's very humble, but they've all got, you know, half of them have got science degrees, but the thing about them all is that, you know, they're just very committed. They've really dedicated their lives to doing all they can to make change happen and to activate and inspire people to work for the solutions. So they're all on the front line of what's going on, and through their own personal experience and joining forces with others, including some of the others on the team. So, you know, Ashley, for instance, is one of Madison's best friends. But Ashley, I also knew through the Jane Goodall Foundation, because she and I've been to see Jane Goodall speak and have been very aware of her work. She's incredible, of course. And so Ashley is one of the ambassadors for the Australian Roots for Shoots, which is Jane's foundation with young people. So there were lots of interconnections, you know. Doha is actually the last one we brought on board because I knew I wanted to include the School Strike for Climate, and because obviously that's a very important movement. And we just researched in terms of who's the leaders in each of the cities in Australia. And she was a standout in terms of who was doing what. And I think it's very clear when you watch the film how amazing she is. So the thing about each of them, and then Ella is the other one who Alice put me on to, actually. Alice had seen Ella speak in Byron, because half Jordan, Alice, Maddie, Ella are all based in Byron. They all come and go because they're working around the world at different times. But Alice had seen Ella speak and was just thought she was incredible. And I actually knew of her brother, Ella's brother, just through some of the work he does. So everything's interconnected, and it is once you're in the space, you know you're really one step away from knowing. If you don't know someone directly, someone knows them, you know what I mean? So, and then it was a matter of in terms of, I knew the issues I wanted covered between all of them, and obviously they all interconnect. There's crossover, but then it was a matter, and I always had this feeling that as I was putting the group together, it was like they felt like a team of natural superheroes. You know, it was also this very aware of how popular, because how do you reach an audience? And I was very, Steve and I were very aware of how popular, you know, all these, you know, shows at the time. Australian Idol, they still are, Australian Idol, and, you know, Who's Got Talent and all these things where they're putting talent together in groups, and you know, the movies, the Avengers and all that. People love teams and groups, and team, you know, a team is, you want to be part of a team, right? And that's the way to solve a lot of these problems, is to work together, bring people together. So it was always, they're a team of superheroes, awesome, inspiring, amazing. Great role models in so many different ways for kids and adults, youth alike, in terms of the people they were and how natural they were, and also very aware of how, you know, like our kids today are very, there's a lot of influences and artificial, you know, like things that are out there and that they see, and I just wanted them to see real, see real and honest and true and natural, and that beauty is from within. These girls are gorgeous inside and out, but just naturally so, you know, they're not in any way, shape or form, interested in that sort of side of things. They're just interested in nature and people and bringing us all together and restoring.
And the planet, yeah.
And restoring so the natural Ella, world.
Ella yep. is the one that my daughter, like, really was focused on. It was funny when we were watching the film. Every time Ella yep. came on screen, she put her phone up to take a photograph, and I'm like, of all these women, that's the one that's speaking to you. And it's really interesting. She said about the documentary exactly what I said about the documentary. I want to tell people how I found out about this documentary. So my flatmate, sort of my flatmate, she lives in the country, but we live together when she comes up to Sydney, was one of the, donators. She donated some money towards this film, and her sister, and her name is Karen Norman, and her sister Tracy Norman also donated money towards this film. And it was funny, when you had the screening at Dungog, Karen came up for it. She went up there and she rang me afterwards, and she was so lit up. Like, she was so lit up. Oh, my God, you've got to see this documentary. And I thought to myself, I watch this stuff all the time. I'm in this. This is my community. Like, this is stuff that I do all the time. And I'm thinking, yeah, just another documentary. I've seen these things. You know, that's what I was thinking and feeling. And then when I did eventually watch it, I thought, wow, this does have a powerful difference, actually. And that is that of all the things that I've watched that are about activism, never have they included the consciousness, you know, how we think and feel, how we get things done through our deliberate creating. And Ella was the one that really spoke to that. So she's a First Nations. Is she First Nations? Like, what we call Aboriginal or the original people?
Yeah, she's Indigenous, absolutely, and she's very passionate about her indigeneity and connecting back to country. So the thing we felt about Ella is that she was a bit of the that's why we start the she bookended the film, because she's the guru, she's the wise one, you know. So right. we love the fact that she. We start with her and we finish with her, and her words, the way she speaks, they're all wise and wonderful, but Ella's just got that, the elder, if you like, among the group, and the ancient peoples and the traditional land. And she's very strong and powerful, and she just has this incredible presence and ability. That's why we also had the fire, all of them around the fire, and did the traditional welcome smoke. And smoking yeah. ceremony and all the rest of it, and included most of that in the film. So she really was the one that was overseeing, in a way, just as the wisdom of the group. And she had incredible, as we saw in the film, we had some incredible words from her that were, you know, the process of filmmaking, it's all about how you ebb and flow it. That's a whole other conversation, but the art of filmmaking. But yes, we had over 80 hours of footage to choose from. So we interviewed all of them, and we had obviously an approach to how we did it. But we made sure we had lots to choose from. But yes, she's very powerful. And the thing, it's interesting, because I think the thing I liked about having the group of them as well is that everybody does seem to. It's like somebody's going to connect to everybody's going to connect to at least one person in this film, you know. Everybody yeah. There's no way that there's not going to be something that someone can find to connect to, and at least one thing, if not. So even, you know, like those people that are not listening way down the track, that are far, far away, and are just. They're the one. I've had so many comments of that's, I guess, where the money speaks to those people, because money speaks right. to everyone. So that's why we wanted to create something where create a space with just open arms that allowed everybody in and made everybody even the biggest climate denier, the biggest naysayer. And I've had people come up to me in my own town who are naysayers and who came to the film. And congratulated me and thanked me and yeah, interesting conversations.
Yeah, you're touching on questions that I wanted to ask you, because, yeah, I've heard a lot of people say there's no such thing as climate change. You know, this climate change thing is a ruse. It's just governments are just using it to create more taxes. you know, they just want to charge us more. Like, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. And I wanted to address that with you, but I was going to address that later. I want to get into the, I want to stay on the consciousness. You know, what do you think it takes for somebody to dedicate their life knowing that they're not going to get paid or remunerated in, and they might like it might stress them out totally, and it's going to be difficult to like wanting to make a difference in the world. What do you think the, when so many people in the world just like, it's the government's problem, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to know about it, like what's the consciousness of somebody that really puts their, goes out there and makes a difference, do you think, Michelle?
I think at the heart of it lies that a connection to nature, lies a deep connection to, if you have that, we all have the ability to gain that, because that's where we've come from. We're, you know, we're part of nature. We've come from nature. All life on earth is interconnected. We are all animals. We're all creatures on this planet, sharing life, right? It's an interconnected web of life. So it's a life support system. We all need each other. So I think when you get that, and when you have, and as I said, I'm one of them. I'm absolutely in the same headspace as them. I mean, that's the film, and you know, dedicating my own life, putting my own money in, our own money, and you know, not earning. This is not making us any money. It's not about that. So money doesn't drive any of us, because what drives us is to save the planet. And to, because you have, you know, when you have experiences, when you're in the moment and you see the beauty out there, so it's, nature's not nice, just nice to have. It is, you know, of course it's beautiful and nice to have, but, you know, we need it to survive. But it, but when you actually get both of those concepts and see, really see nature for what it is, see the beauty of every single insect and leaf and bark, the bark on a tree, and then the animals, all the amazing animals, when you have relationships with animals, when you actually, like, you know, you think about Alice and her diving with whales. I mean, her diving with a baby humpback whale was what she tells that in the film. The story of that was the moment she knew that she had to do everything to save just that one whale, because she had this eye-to-eye connection with this beautiful baby humpback whale when she was diving. Madison's the same. Madison's the same with the sharks. She has swum with sharks since she was a young teenager. And you know, Ashley's got it with the farm animals and also with sharks. We've all got this deep, Ella's got it with the land. You know, she's got that very traditional connection to country. The indigenous people around the world, they get it. We should be listening to them on so many more levels all the time, because that's where we've all come from. They've got it going. They know what's going on. We don't. We've lost connection. They've got connection. So when you have connection, that's where it starts. And then, you know, because money doesn't drive you. Of course, we all have to have money to survive, and here's the thing, everyone has you know, you can find work, you a lot of the women do have income coming through what they do. They, you know, like, we get grants, you know, you raise money. That's how I got the film made, because you're driven. And here's the thing too, this is a really important message: when you get involved, you can sit there on the fence and you can say, isn't it terrible? And I really do defy people deep down to not feel at some level a connection. If they let that grow, you won't know yourself. You know, I know socially, economically, with all that's going on in the world, it's not always that easy. Some people, you know, socially, everyone doesn't have that luxury. But nature's around us. You can walk to a park. You can, you know, most of us can get out there and connect. We really can if we choose to. Once you start that ball rolling and you start to engage with animals and each other, community, your community, it's one and the same thing, connecting with nature and your own community, something comes on in you again, you know, like a switch turns on, the fire in your heart, soul, spirit, it all ignites. And once you're part, once you actually get involved, feel that connection, and then start to do something, you feel so much better. You feel like you're actually, you're part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I can testify to, of course, you know, yes, it's tough sometimes to make ends meet, but you're driven by this desire that what you're doing is going to make a difference, and that, absolutely, and it does, it is, you know. So
absolutely, that's what keeps us going. Yeah, empathy, connection, feeling that, yeah, that
love, that kindness, mean. Kindness, love, caring, kindness, connection. Care, kindness.
I want to remind people that you're listening to Accentuate the Positive Media on the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, streaming on 107.7 FM and 105.3 FM out of New Orleans. And we're talking about the power of activism today. And I was saying to Michelle, it's about the consciousness component, because there's a woman who in Australia who put on the social goals, the social something summit, I can't remember what it was called, social change. Anyway, and I went to quite a few of those, and looking at all the social goals, I think there's 17 the UN put out, not one of them mentioned consciousness or mindset or, mm-hmm, you know, looking after yourself emotionally. And this film really dives into it. I think we'll play the trailer in a moment. Madison talks about her PTSD because she gets so stressed from what she's doing, fighting governments, fighting collective conditioning, like she's out there in Indonesia fighting culture, and this is the way it's always been. It doesn't matter that we're killing things and polluting things. This is like we've always done this to survive. We have to do this. So we're pushing up against social norms and trying to change the social norms, and it can be very stressful. And I think the first thing that we have to do if we want to make a change is change ourselves and not be in the fight. You know, stand up for something you believe in rather than fighting against something that you deem as not okay. And that is the crux to all of this. And it just was amazing to me that the UN didn't even put that as one of the goals in their 17 social goals that they're going to reach by the year 30. Was this consciousness component, which is what I'm all about. This is why I start this, I started the show and continue doing the show for like 15 years, is to teach people about their power of their mind and the power that they have to change the way they think and feel, regardless of what you're doing. Yeah, what were you going to say, Diane?
I was just going to say, I think a lot of the trauma that is felt in all of what we do is because we see these beautiful animals being killed, being harmed, being treated, exploited, you know. And I know that's been a motivator for me, being aware of, you know, whether it's the live export trade or the wildlife trade, or how do people, how are they treating these beautiful animals this way? Like what is going on, you know? So I think the consciousness, This is the thing in terms of humans. I think because they've lost connection and we don't call it, you know, like I think in terms of why isn't that on the list, I think it's getting better, but they don't know to call it that, you know, like this is what we try to go to in the film as well, is that how interconnected everything is, you know, like in terms of when you are switched on in yourself, right? Then you get all this. You have that beautiful connection to nature. You see, you hear, you appreciate, you love, you care. And that's for each other, for yourself, for each other. If you've got it in yourself first, then it's for those around you. And then the ripple effects of that goes out into the whole world, right? So
yeah,
it's about how do we get people to be kinder and to each other, and so the world we're in today, God knows we need more, as much of that as we possibly can, you know?
Absolutely. Should we play the trailer or should we play it later? There's so many places I want to go. I want to talk about the Gungog community and the bag community, because that's such a great thread through the movie, is like those, you know, how community makes a difference. And yeah. then I want to also address the naysayers. You know, there's no such thing as climate change. It's just a ruse, you know, like what? Because these are the questions I actually asked the girls. We were walking back to the car after the documentary and I was quizzing them forever, the interviewer, asking a million questions and to see their point of view. And should we play the trailers? Shall I play the trailer?
Yeah, and I also want to hear what the girls, I want to hear the feedback. I mean, I had lots of great feedback. It was a great screening last weekend. It was there was a really lovely mix of people and we really enjoyed the feedback we got. So I want to hear that feedback too. But yeah, let's play the trailer and then see take it from there.
All righty. Here we go. I'm going to play it off the website. And for people that know on Vimeo on demand,
we are at a point in time where the actions that we take now determine so much of what the future will look like.
I had a good job. Like, yes, it paid the bills and it was quite comfortable, but that's not really enough for me.
If I described my PTSD, they would think that I'd come back from some kind of war. It's not like that at all. That's just activism.
When you learn about what's happening with climate change and you understand the science of what's going on with pollutants in the ocean, it definitely motivates you to fight. But it's just, how can my actions make any possible difference in these huge problems?
What is amazing about each of these activists is that they really do all champion a different cause. And they're all connected under the umbrella of climate change. I thought it would be important to look at each of the issues that the girls are leading, championing, and calculate the economic value that their work and their solutions are bringing to the economy, the dollar value.
So we just got busted by the police because they didn't like us having some removable chalk on the pavement. They took our contact details, they asked for my mum's number, which gives me a bit of anxiety, but that's okay.
Are we working symbiotically with nature? Are we actually doing what she does, or are we just trying to manipulate her for profit?
What if I just go and offer the fishermen money to do something else? I just waltz in there trying to change their occupation. Everybody was like, are you crazy? I was like, well, yes.
I went to study law because I was unhappy with the laws that are currently in place. I look at, of course, the animal welfare, but also the things that the public are less likely to know.
Maybe the global trade isn't actually beneficial. That's something that I think is a breakdown of the economics. We need to, like, destroy it.
There's a lot of big decision making and responsibility that comes with mobilizing a big group of people and having them all look to you for the answers. You can't just tap out.
This isn't about even having a position on the environment anymore. This is just makes economic sense.
Education and empowerment, I think, is really important. You need to think about, so for example, human health, then you've got the environmental story, and then you've got the animal cruelty story.
That blows my mind, having that number.
Nobody seems to understand that we're literally doing a job that a government should be doing.
So let's figure out which one of us is worth the most.
Always get so emotional watching that. Ah, oh, beautiful. Yeah. So, well, the feedback from the girls was I asked them the questions, which one inspired you the most? And they all had something different to say. Annika said Ella, who was the Indigenous leader, the wise woman, because she spoke about consciousness, and she said exactly the same as me, which I thought was really interesting, is that the first time she's seen an activism documentary that included that component, and that really spoke to her. And then she's like, where is she? I want to find this woman. I want to find this woman. Mm. And it turns out that she lives up, you know, because
she's in Byron.
She's in the Byron area. So she's like, great, I'm going to go to her women's circles. I'm going to go to her ceremonies. Yeah. So she was really excited about that. And I asked the question, what do you say about people who say there's no such thing as climate change? And to tell you the truth, I can't remember exactly what they said. But they're all converted into thinking, well, there is, you know, we're killing the planet. And my point of view is, even if what's happening, global warming, is a part of the natural cycle, because this is the argument, that it's just a natural cycle. And the scientists say this, like, we're not doing this to put planet Earth. It's just occurring because this is all a part of the natural cycle. I think to myself, it doesn't give us permission to, like, completely pollute the planet. Like, the plastic thing just freaks me out. When I go to the supermarket and look at rows and rows and rows and rows of things covered in plastic, times that by every supermarket across the world, and then people are shopping weekly, daily, so that's being replenished on a daily basis and all of it's going into landfill. I mean, and then plastic doesn't biodegrade. I saw something recently in Parliament, American Parliament, where a woman says to Congress they should get rid of all the plastic, and then this male politician destroys her by saying, what are your glasses made of? You know, how convenient plastic is. What about the chair you're sitting on? Like, everything is plastic. We just can't get rid of plastic. And he kind of destroys that sentiment. And I think to myself, there are so many materials that you can make your glasses out of, or chairs, or, you know, I think they said the coffee cup, you had the plastic top on it. There are so many materials that we can make plastic out of that is biodegradable. It's just a money issue. It's the money issue. It's the money game. Here we go with the money game. So you address the money game in the documentary, which I found fascinating. Because I'm not into the money game at all. And Ella, I think, or a few of the girls said they're not into it either. How do you put a dollar value on what I do? I don't even think about money, that many of them said. And I'm like, yeah, right. You just do it because you're passionate about it. You don't think about it. But then in the Q&A in Bondi last weekend, pretty much every question was about the money. Like, there was the math teacher sitting behind me that was so fascinated how the actuary calculated the, you know, the cost of what these girls are doing in the world. Do you want to speak to the money component?
Yeah, I think the money component has a few different layers to it. I think it, and again, that will speak differently to different people depending on their focus and level of being switched on or not, right? So I think the thing about money with us, with we humans, is it's part of the lives we lead, whether we like it or not. We need it, and it's the way economics is it's what it's based on, right, in terms of how societies work, etc. I think how industry, business, all the rest of it. So I think speaking in that language, it just added, of course, the film speaks across the board in all the aspects I've been mentioning and we've been touching on, but like adding that layer of money just puts another lane in the pool, if you like, to, in terms of, you know, if we haven't got you up to this point, we're going to get you with this one, because this one, everybody speaks this language, and it, on some level, you know, it just makes the ears stick up. So, and I think fascinating, like in that screening, there were a range of questions about the money. And I think whether you look at it from valuing what each of the women do in terms of the work and putting a dollar value, and as I think Maddie says, a few times, that we're actually doing a job that a government should be doing. And, you know, again, other comments. Absolutely. And we've obviously put all these in for a reason, all these particular comments and how we've structured them. You know, like people are being paid to destroy the planet, So yeah. Why aren't people being paid to fix it? So those yeah. they're often triggers that people ask about. So, you know, the idea with this film is that we want to show it, obviously, to everybody, whether they be decision makers. And that was always when we say, how do we switch people on? That goes from government to big business to schools to community leaders to households, right? Mm-hmm. So to business, whatever level of business you are. So this speaks to everybody. And that money question, because we put a dollar value literally, and it's only the tip of the iceberg. And an actuary, if you don't know what an actuary is essentially an economist, a mathematician, a statistician. So what they do, their job is that they through data, through peer-reviewed studies, in often with the case of conservation, it'll be scientific reports. So all of these, and if you're interested, these are all on the website. We have all the research that's been used in the film on the website. You can go to the papers, you can go to the studies, you can go to the reports, and you can look through them and see that it's all there, black and white. So that's a process in itself, pulling out all the bits of information, but that's what an actuary does. They do not come to any figures without proof, without it being data that exists. That's, you know, so what we could actually measure, and we talked to that in the film too, there are some things we can't measure. You know, like how do you put a dollar value on Indigenous culture? Not only is it priceless, but the data just doesn't exist because it hasn't been done. Yes, there's IP, intellectual property, in terms of art, and that obviously connects with culture. But, you know, like in terms of the knowledge of, and I think Ella and how she responds to that, even without saying a word, is very clear that she's not impressed with that. But that's just the facts, right? So, and that's why her comment afterwards is very much, there is no economic system that exists that can put a value on this because it's priceless. She essentially is saying that it is Indigenous knowledge is seven generations to come, and how you treat the land and each other, and, you know, that's where the value, that's where the heart, that's where, you know. So very much for Ella, it's not the system that we're in is not. She wants to change the system. You know, the system is broken. The system is broken, and it is.
I agree. It is. It's absolutely broken. It's all based on fear and competition rather than
greed. Love and collaboration. Greed.
Yes. Power. Yeah, well, greed is money. Fear. Power. It's all fear. It's all fear. Fear or love. Love is connection. Fear is separation. Yeah. It's all.
Well, look, and it's interesting because a lot of you know, she talks about the patriarchy, and the film is not a feminist film. We did not set out to make a film that's just about women. The fact of the matter that are leading, right, in these spaces, the fact of the matter is, again, fact, that the majority of activists that are dedicating their lives, and I'm saying over 95% at this level, are women, right?
That's is just that in Australia or is that across the planet?
Well, if you, well, certainly in Australia. And if you talk to each of the activists in our film, they would say to you around the world, 100%.
Because you toured the film across the planet, and so you went to Europe. Where else did you go? You went to the States.
We've been in festivals. We've been in festivals on the festival circuit. We still are, actually. In the States, in Germany, we were on the International Ocean Film Tour last year. Look, I do think that through Germany, parts, you know, a good part of Europe, Switzerland, Holland, Spain, Austria. So we've been in different festivals in parts of the Middle East. We really have gone to a good chunk of the world. There's still a lot more out there. But I would say, there's a comment to that in that I think there is, and this is an Indigenous commentary as well. I think there, in terms of having an awakening and of consciousness, I think that it is a time of all of us finding the feminine in us more so, and the feminine, whether that's the right, this is the label it's been given in terms of empathy. Not that men are not empathetic and caring and can have all those things. You know, we call male, female. We say men strong, male components are strong, and you know, they're all.
Yeah, I know. We say you know what males. Males are act and they think, and women feel and nurture.
Yeah, I think all of those things live in all of us. You know, it's just a matter of the care, the empathy, the care, the kind. There's an awakening that is needed and happening. And, you know, I think in terms of this film, it was never just let's just find the women. It was just let's find the activists, let's find the leaders. And you know what? I think how fantastic that there's these six awesome young women who are leaders for boys, girls, men, women, and everyone in between, right? So it's not about being male or female. It's about being a great leader. And there are a lot of men in this film who are working with the women. And you look at my co-collaborator as a man, most of the crew are men. Our crew were men. So the film is very balanced in terms of the film energy in terms of behind the scenes and in front of the camera. It was very balanced. The first couple of actuaries that we had engaged were men. But unfortunately I think Kirsten was perfect, but Kirsten was actually a last minute. She stepped in at the last minute, but she ended up being perfect because we had two men before that were, for various reasons, had to pull out. And they recommended Kirsten, and Kirsten, there she is, you know. So it's kind of, I really believe in it all happens for a reason, and it all came together, the synergy of it all came together. And I think, I really think the money angle has just added that point of difference. More than anything, it's a point of difference. And it's it really emphasizes and shows how interconnected the environment, the health of the environment, the economy, and us is one and the same thing. And how the system, where it shows up how the system is broken and how we need to fix it. And we put forward not only the solutions, but we show what's going on. And that's all human impact. So I think it's undeniable to look at the film and not see what we've done and how the consequences of what our choices and our, you know, the practices we've put in place across the board, the impact they're having. So again, the data, so the figures we come to at the end are really just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more that it cannot, like Kirsten can't officially and won't put officially down any figures that cannot be, you know, fully proven and backed and all the rest of it, because that's her job. So you can't argue with that, because she's an economist, right?
I think that you said black and white. Yeah, exactly. Black and white, absolutely. I think that you said during the Q&A that the money, putting a money value on what these girls are doing, had little impact for some and huge impact for others. Like I think it was Madison, the shark girl, who, you know, having that money put behind her. Like it's not that she had money put behind her, but the value on paper, she could show that to people and see, this is making a difference. So actually her story was the story that spoke to me the most the first time I saw it. It's like seeing the film for the second time, I saw a whole more components in it that I didn't see the first time, which was really interesting, I felt. But her story, so she goes to Indonesia and she pays the shark fishermen who have been catching sharks for shark fin soup, which is, I think, a delicacy in Japan. So they discard most of the shark and just cut off the fin, and then the shark numbers are depleting, and they talk about the impact that has on the whole ecosystem when you kill the sharks. And these people have them, like they show the whole science of it. And so she goes and she pays them initially. She doesn't know what to do to not fish the sharks. Like, I'll give you the money if you don't go out and kill the sharks. And then she comes up with the idea that, you know, it would be better to take tourists out to look at the sharks or to look at the reef on their boats rather than to take the boats out to fish the sharks. And they start doing that, and they found that they made more money and worked less, because when they're fishing shark, they're away from their families for weeks at a time. But as a tourist boat operator, they could do it in their own time. They were making more money. They could spend more time with their family. There was just such a huge solution to this problem, because she was getting around the this is the way it's always been done, this is like tradition sort of mindset. And then, of course, the cartel who were controlling the shark fin soup trade were not happy, and they were threatening her, what she was doing. So it's a huge story that really spoke to me. And but in the second time I watched it, the story that spoke to me was the community of the bags, the billabong bags. Oh, I boomerang. Wanted to say to you too, boomerang bags, that Steve also is the director of a documentary my daughter is in called Extreme Minds, which is coming out soon. Have you seen so? Because Annika goes, I know that guy. He was behind or a producer.
He's producing that,
Extreme Minds, which is coming out soon. I'll let you all know about. So that is fascinating too. Do you want to go into the story of the billabong? What is it, billabong bag?
Boomerang. Just to make a point with Maddie's thing with the sharks, the thing that this is another kind of light bulb moment in terms of Maddie's approach for us, because as we were looking for how do we switch people on, Maddie, this project Hugh, the shark fin issue, it massive in China and it throughout Asia, but they cut off these fins. This is the insanity of it, and there is a tradition that they put the fin in a soup and it's meant to bring you all sorts of benefits, right? It's tasteless. It's just a fin sitting in a bowl of soup, and that it's insane, right? But it's their tradition and culture, and as we say in the film, again, the stats, we put lots of stats and facts up so that you can just feel the impact. We kill over 100 million sharks a year and on average worldwide through shark fin, through culling, through, you know, the massive nets, through that trawl the ocean, that pick up all sorts of species as well as the fish and discard them. But, you know, we have a lot of things to be very, you know, our behaviours, human impact has a lot to answer for. So her thing, having watched this since she was 14 years old, because, you know, she also talks about having gone swimming with sharks off the Great Barrier Reef with her dad, who was also a shark lover, and how she went back to the same place, and each year when she'd go back to swim, there were less sharks, right? So this is the Indonesian area is one of the biggest fishing areas in terms of sharks, and it feeds the Chinese trade largely. And so her thing was, I've got to work with the way you're going to make change happen. You can harbor, this is really important. You can either be angry about it or you can get active about it, and you can choose to be positive in that action or not. You can, because unfortunately, a lot of activism is not necessarily positive, and that switches people off. This was another thing we knew in the film, that we, you know, I'm a supporter of wanting to save the planet, save animals, but there are ways to be active and ways that switch people off and ways that switch people on. So we wanted to switch people on. So Maddie had very much come to this. She's got to work. If you're going to make change, if you're going to make a difference in the illegal wildlife trade, you've got to go to the front line, right? And in her case with the sharks. So she went to the fishermen, right? And these fishermen, which is often the case in any of the poachers, or they just need to feed their families, because it's the big cartels and the big honchos that are at the top that are paying these people who just need, you know, money to feed their families. They are using them, and so they're not aware how bad the trade is. They're not aware that killing sharks, you know, they're not necessarily as educated as a lot of us are and have the privilege that a lot of us have. So for her to go to the front line of where the trade is happening, where these sharks are just being brought in, heartbreaking, traumatic, right, to watch these animals she loves just be culled and killed and fins cut off, and then they throw the animals back in the ocean still alive, right? So how is she going to make change happen? She's going to go there. And this is an approach that's happening more so around the world with different wildlife trade, illegal trading, is that the solution is to go and work with these people and find them another way. educate them. You know, like what Madison does in terms of this village where she started Project Hue and is still going, building ever. She's just, you know, she's more or less living in Indonesia now. She has listened to them. She has seen, you know, what their needs are. They didn't have any fresh water. They didn't have any education for the kids. They didn't have, you know, enough food. So these fishermen are being paid by the cartels to go out and do this because they don't have any other option. They've got no other form of income. So when you go to the front line and see that these people are also being exploited, the animals are being exploited, but these people are being exploited by the money, power, cartel, big trade up the top, right? So she has now turned it around and just she's befriended them and worked with them and helped them. And they and we say this in the film too, they now protect her. You know, they are like, wow, she's one of them. So yeah, they are to community. So community is so important. Boomerang Bags ties to that as well. So it's about working together on your own. You know, yes, you need leadership, but there's no point leading if there's nobody on the bus. You know, I always say this, that, yeah, I might be the leader, but if there's nobody on the bus with me, what's the point, right? So, but that's the point I wanted to make about Maddie, and it ties in with the boomerang bag thing too. I think it, you know, so hats off to her in terms of you know, what she's doing, not only for the sharks, but for that community, for that, for the kids. And she loves them. They love her, and they have learnt to love sharks and understand sharks, and they don't want to hurt the sharks. They want to protect the sharks. So she's bringing them with her. She's turning it around with a solution. Positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
No judgment. She's not in you can't bring judgment to this because, you know, like, of course, when you're at the big bad, when you've got the head honchos, the bad guys, these guys aren't the bad guys. They're just being used. They're being used. A lot of the time they're just being exploited. So we need to turn that around and work with them to make change happen, positive change happen for people, for the animals and for the people, right? And thus, therefore, the natural world environment. So all connected. So with boomerang bags, I think it's the same principle. And Jordan started boomerang bags, obviously, as a she had a passion, and I have as well, about plastic. You touched on it too, just the craziness of how much plastic is out there and how bad it is, you know. It's made of fossil fuels and chemicals. It's a combination of all the worst things. It doesn't break down. It breaks up into smaller and smaller pieces, even microscopic pieces over tens of years that still end up in the ocean. It doesn't just sit in landfill. This is the issue. And even if it did, when it's exposed to the elements, the sun, it breaks, it melts it back, it leaches the toxins and the chemicals back into the soil. And as we know with landfill, you know, you just need wind and rain and flood. That's happening all over the world. And this stuff gets moved around, right? And people also litter. So it's just, this stuff ends up out in the waterways. It's leaching into the toxic, into the soil, the waterways, and out to the ocean. And not only is it a problem in terms of what it's leaching, but then the animals, and we're talking the big animals, you know, like whether it's whales that are swallowing the massive stuff. They've opened up whales on beaches and found plastic, massive plastic amounts, whether it's nets, whether it's things that have been discarded from boats.
I think one of the most disturbing things it said is that if you eat fish, there was the percentage, you have X percentage of plastic inside your body. It's like from eating fish. I'm like, whoa.
That's right. Well, there's more, they're talking about there's going to be more plastic in the ocean than fish in 2040. So there's so much of it in the ocean. And so basically.
I just want to remind people that you're listening to the United Public Radio Network. You know, we have to do the call quite a few times to remind people what we're listening to. And the UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 and 105.3 FM. It's streaming out of New Orleans on syndicated public radio. And we're talking to Michelle Dada Dillon about her documentary, The Power of Activism. So the Boomerang Bags is about getting community together to make, to use scraps of, you go into it, scraps of material to make bags that you can take shopping instead of using plastic bags.
Well, it's basically about upcycling fabric. So everybody, yeah. We've had so much fabric donated that people have just had lying around at home. And it's about turning, you know, whether it's old clothes or sheets. There's a lot of fabric out there. It's one of the biggest polluters in terms of textile waste under the umbrella of climate change, right? Not only, this touches on two issues, the fabric, the textile waste, but also the plastic pollution problem. And so what it does is it you know, like I would say over 80% of in our community of the fabric we've used has just been donated fabric that people have had lying around, and it's been amazing, beautiful stuff, you know. And then we turn clothes and all the rest of it, and it's the bags, the shopping bags, the produce bags, cutlery tote bags. There's an hour in terms of our town, so we were the 20th community to get underway. So this is an initiative that any community, any town, any suburb across the world can jump online, boomerangbags.org, and join. And you can decide to start getting on board for the solutions. So for plastic pollution, right? So we make the alternatives, choose reusables. And obviously the plastic is around the world, I guess it's at various different levels. It's still a massive problem. Single-use plastics are just awful. And I, in my town, I think, and this is the way the film really started getting traction, is because I started it in my own town, and knowing that the film was already in an early stage at that stage, and I knew about Boomerang Bags, and I thought it would be great to start it in my own community and really see how I could switch people on. It was a case study for the film in a way, as well as wanting to do it for my town. How can I switch people on in my town to get involved, right? So because I want to do this in the film, so how can I do it in my town? So it was a bit of an experiment. And it was about that positive engagement. So not only did it was the two things, you had to get a team of people together to actually make the bags. So people that were passionate. So it was somebody I'd only moved from Sydney. We'd moved up only a few years before. So I knew some people, but it certainly opened up my avenues into the community for sure. So it didn't take long to get 10, 12 people together that were really passionate about doing something, that hated the plastic problem. In my own local supermarket, and it was this connects to the stats you were giving, Karen, it was 3,000 plastic bags going out every single day at the door. And I got the stats. So I asked the IGA, it was one of the first conversations I had. I went to council. Once the team of us got together that we're going to do this, we put the call out for donated fabric. That came in really quickly. We all had fabric ourselves, or things that we could turn. We all had sewing machines. Half of us were sewers, but you don't have to be necessarily a sewer because it's cutting and it's printing and it's, you know, so you just reach out and assembling. And it brings a team of people together. And so I cannot tell you how many times I've had people say to me, whether they were part of the team making the bags or just part of our community, how great it was, and how it was such a little fire that got lit under the town. The town was, if you look at our town now, it's just come alive, you know. And I think community groups make such a difference, and it brings on, it's, you're working for a purpose, for a solution. Absolutely. I very much worked with council, this is really important, and we talk about this in the film, how important it is to reach out through the whole community. So it's the council, the government, the local government, the schools, community groups. There are some other fabulous community groups. And the business, and Keely was the little supermarket, but going around to what we call here in Australia the Chamber of Commerce, so all the business community, reaching out through all of that and saying, this is what we're going to do, are you in, are you on, and you're rah, rah, rah. And that's where it began, and that was 2016. We were the 20th community And now there are 1,100 communities around the world doing what we do.
I know. Yeah. That's what's, I think, is that how you met Tracy?
Yes. Well, Tracy, I knew from the community because she was always very active, obviously, and through her business involvement, but also she was mayor for a little while. And we won a number of awards. So Boomerang Bags in the first couple of years, because we had our local Dungog District Chamber of Commerce Awards and we won the Environmental and Sustainability Award. We were nominated for that. I won, when Tracy was mayor, I won Environmental Citizen of the Year. I started for our shire. So I was very engaged. She knew what I was doing. I knew what she was doing. She was very supportive environmentally as well as socially. So that's how it was, a lot of interconnection
in what we were doing. Yeah, so that's how I found out about it, because Tracy is actually someone I've known since I was a child, who is the sister of my flatmate. I could call her my flatmate, even though she doesn't really live here. She lives in the country. She owns the house I live in. It's her city pad where I live, and it's amazing. But yeah, the part that spoke to me about the boomerang bags was the connection. I mean, you live in a country town and maybe there are people there that, you know, are old and lonely, and you get them involved and they're out there, that maybe they can't sew but they can cut, and then the conversations that happen over the cutting table, or, you know, meeting once a week and having that connection, that community connection, to, and also feeling like you're making a difference in the world. It was just so rich. The whole thing was so rich. I often say to my community, I have a small community, you know, start a group. If you can't find people that have the conversations that you like to have, and you're always on the internet listening to these types of conversations, whatever conversations they are, we talk a lot about our Star Nation family, UFOs and consciousness and afterlife communication and psychic ability, and these are not mainstream conversations, then start a group. But this gives you the added bonus, is that you can have the conversation in the group, but you can actually sew some bags up.
And
community.
That's right. And the thing is too, like, it's the sewing bee that we have every couple of weeks, but it's also the doors open. So the community come in and out, and over the years, like, we've been going in our town now for 8 years. So everybody knows us, and really everybody knew us within the, we got nominated for a regional award. So everybody was very proud of us, and we did it at, you know, like, I'd go into the schools and do talks, and because I had a connection with the council, it was very important that, you know, what we were doing was working with council. So council, you know, we also, you know, started other initiatives and single-use plastic free Dungog. And so this was all in partnership with council, with the IGA, the supermarket, stopping using plastic, single-use plastic bags, supporting what we were doing, having our bags in there, messaging. There's a lot of, you know, you just keep it going. The messaging and the impact is continuous, so that you have a real presence. And so you'd be invited to things like the Dungog show. We'd have a stall. We'd always have a stall at Christmas, and people would buy our bags, and we'd be friends. Everybody knew at least one of us closely. So we had, you know, it was, everybody knows everybody now, but initially it was just that people loved that we were just so positive and doing something. And I have to tell you, fast forward, you know, businesses have come back into town, and we've now got a co-op, and other community groups have formed, and, you know, we've had special events where we've highlighted all the other great work going on in farming circles and sustainable timbers and regeneration and, you know, there's a science hub and.
Yeah, reinvigorated a small country town. And that really spoke to me too. It's like, whoa, I mean, there are just so many solutions out there, Michelle, to the problem of our world. And it does contain passion, consciousness and community, you know, connectedness and all those things that we like to talk about in the conscious community or the spiritual community. We're all talking about oneness and connection, and even the ET communities, because they all know this is their default setting. They feel connected to everyone and everything, higher consciousness beings. It's only us humans that feel so separated from the problems in our world, from each other, and therefore we want to like judge people and say they're wrong and feel really good about being right about making somebody wrong. It's like crazy what we do as humans. But yeah, the community component was a really amazing component, I thought. Got out of it watching the second time was that story about the community and how it invigorated a small country town. How big is Dungog? How many people?
The town itself is 2,500, but the shire, so the region around it, it's like 8,000. So but then you know that's the shire, and then that connects out to the region, and so there's it, and we don't forget with our town too, it's a tourist town, so people come through to because we're right near a national park and beautiful nature. So it's our community. We really have the other thing that I wanted to say is that we also in 2019. We were runner up as Keep Australia Beautiful New South Wales Awards, where we were Australia. We were one of the five finalists of the Tidy Most Sustainable Tidy Town in Australia. So we were runner up to the New South Wales area of being the most sustainable, environmentally friendly. So again, all of these things are platforms. So it's not about the awards per se. It's just about getting the word out there and getting a platform to show and tell our story and invite people to join. And that, you know, that whole thing of I cannot tell you again how many people have said to me how much better they feel because they're doing something and they're involved. And we are humans meant to be, we're a social animal. We're meant to work together. We're not meant to work alone. We are meant to be a community. Right. And when we're a community, we're in action, we're positive, we're connected, all these things. We're awake, we're spiritually engaged, you know, in the moment. We're so caught up in past, future. We've got to be in the now and see what's going on and get involved. You feel so much better when you're involved. And there are so many people out there doing amazing things that it inspires me every single day. And, you know, these six women in our film are just six amazing ones, as are the people with them in the film. They're all amazing. And there's so many more like them. So this is the question. It's like I always ask is, you know, watch the film. So go to our website and you can stream the film, buy the film, watch the film and see for yourself, you know, where you feel at the end of it. But get involved and just engage and be positive, be kind, be in the moment and just see how precious this world we live in is, how beautiful all our fellow animal species. We're all animals. We're all connected. And they're amazing. They're beautiful. And we need them. They, you know, they don't need us, I hate to tell you. We need them in terms of keeping biodiversity and keeping the health of nature. If we don't have a healthy nature, we are not a healthy human in mind, body, and spirit. This is the thing. We are we need nature. Nature doesn't need us. They can do without us. We're probably at the moment they're probably better off without us, to be honest. But we've caused the problems. We can fix it. You know, we're a great human. Is a great thing. A great human doing amazing stuff is a wonderful thing, for sure.
I think that what people could do too now that the film is available to rent or buy is that you can have a little gathering in your home and watch it with friends and discuss some of the issues and see what people have to say. I love films that create discussion, which is what you've been doing as you've been touring with it. You show the film and then have a Q&A afterwards and, you know, get some discussion happening. And I think that's something that people can do to create community. What do you think about this? So that question of what do you say to people, like you said people came up to you that were definitely naysayers saying, oh, there's no such thing as climate change, it's all a ruse. What do you say to those people that say that maybe what we're going through globally is all a part of the natural cycle of the planet?
Well, I say to them to watch my film. Have a watch of the film and have a go to the research tab and have a look at some of those peer-reviewed studies. I've learned it's no point. I have gotten into some very heated arguments in the past, and there's no point in that. You know,
no.
I do say to people to watch the film now, and I say, you know, just have a watch, see what you think, go to the website, read the reviews, see what other people are saying, look at the research, and then come and have a chat. And I have had people after they've seen the film, come back to me and go, I just want to congratulate you. And, you know, I may not agree with everything, and but, you know, I can see, and I enjoyed the film, and it made me aware of things, some things I wasn't aware of. A lot of it's pride, and a lot of it is people who are not connected in one way or another, that they just but I think deep down in everybody there's something there. So I think if our film can, and just even starting up Boomerang Bags in my community, I had a lot of, there's a group of people, and look, they're everywhere across the world, who are just negative, you know, so they just think you're a do-gooder, and what do you know, and you know, plastic's not a same thing you were mentioning about, here's the thing, plastic, you're not going to get rid of plastic, right? But what we need to do, and this is where working with governments, we need to get rid of the single-use plastics, 100%. So that's what we need to get rid of, and we need to use reusable alternatives, 100%. Other plastics, we need to be, this is the circular economy. This is, you know, this is what is being pushed and driven and put forward, and solutions are being put forward in this space. We need to capture as much of the plastic that is in production that needs to be, you know, that is, there is a, it, it is a, it is a cheaper product in many cases, but in terms of some manufacturing and production, so that's fine, but we need to recycle it. So we need, instead of constantly building new stuff and, you know, wasting, the waste issue is massive. We need to reuse it. So just keep reusing the stuff we've already got, right? And repurpose it. We have all the technology. We need to build more infrastructure, certainly in Australia. But the circular economy closed loop is the solution on all of these waste streams. We need to just keep repurposing it, not making new stuff, repurposing what already exists, because it exists. So let's just repurpose it and keep it out of landfill and the wider environment.
Yeah, exactly. There are many solutions available, but it's the money issue. It's going to cost more to recycle or whatever. But we've only got 5 minutes to go. Actually, we've only got 4 minutes to go. We're running out of time. Sorry, Michelle. And we've got no questions. Nobody asked any questions. I want to shout out to Sherry and Shirley who've been tuning in, and a few other people, Dylan, and I haven't seen everybody that said hello, but nobody's actually asked any questions, so I didn't ask any questions to you. I want to thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
And what do you want people to do apart from going to the website and watching the film? What else do you want people to do?
Well, feel free to contact. You can contact through email. If you want to reach out and make any comment or ask a question, you can do that on the website. But I think it's just, you know, awareness. Watch the film. I think it does do a really good job of raising awareness, engaging, inspiring. And then, as we've discussed, just what can you do? We can all make a difference, every single one of us. You know, I think knowledge is so important. If we all are informed with facts and you know, like with a positive approach, we can all make a difference. It's about doing what you can do. It's in your home, whether it's recycling, you know, not using single-use plastics. You know, as I discussed, the thing, there are all these solutions, you know, as we uptake and use them more and more, they become cheaper and more affordable, and eventually they will become the mainstream. Because don't forget, our demand equals their supply. If we purchase it, I've had this said to me by businesses, you know, people keep buying it. So if we keep buying it,
Well, then they're going to keep supplying it.
That's actually my form of activism, is that I don't participate in the meat and dairy industry and rarely in the fish industry. And I went out to dinner with Tracy and a few people a few months ago, and we were discussing the film, and we were talking about the power of activism. And as everyone's ordering, we're at a fish restaurant and I'm ordering a salad. I said, this is my activism. If I don't put my money behind it, if I don't create the demand, then the demand slows down, you know, less destruction to the ocean, less fish are caught, less cruelty to animals. But yeah, it's demand. And actually, she's someone, because I've been woo-woo my whole life and she's known me for most of it, and she's been quite, well, people, you know, like Tracy, that are more in the mainstream world, have been quite critical of who I am. But when you speak at that level, like, this is my activism, it's like, oh, I get that. That's actually, yeah, I get that. Absolutely. By not putting your money behind something, by standing up for something. So I love fish and I love meat and dairy and I love all that stuff. I love to eat. I've got nothing against eating it. It's just that I don't want to put my energy and money behind it.
Yeah.
So I, for the most part, 90% abstain. I call myself a megan, which is mostly vegan, because I do slip up sometimes. Yeah. And if I am buying that sort of product, I'm buying a product that is more sustainable, like eggs that are coming from small farms that are not the factory eggs and all that sort of stuff. Like, try to put my money where my mouth is. Yeah, try to.
Well, I think not that's right. The
demand.
So the choices we all make every single day, and that's at home, that's in our schools, we have a voice. All of us have a voice. So whether it's in what we purchase, what we choose to have in our own home, in our schools, with our kids, at work, you know, what can you do to make the world you're in more sustainable, more kind, more ethical? Our film will give you lots of ways to show you ideas to do that. So every single one of us can make a difference every single day. Get informed, get aware, be involved in your community. Just think of ways. I promise you are going to feel so much better and so much happier when you are engaged and and involved and active and positive. Positive is really, really, really important. Make a difference. We want to save this world, right? I've got a 2-year-old grandson. And all kids, I want to help all kids have. I want to save as much and restore as much of this beautiful planet and natural world that we live in as possible, because how can we not? It's just magical and precious, and it's not just nice to have. We need it. We need it for our survival. We need it, all of us.
Speaking about the kids, I wanted to get into Doha's story, but we didn't get there, because it was interesting, because the film was made a few years ago now, and school strike for climate change. So, you know, Greta made that such a big thing and it was such a huge movement, and then it all died down. I kind of wanted to know how that was going, but we've run out of time.
Just very quickly, it's she's now studying medicine. So she's now she wants to take that back to her culture and her people, and she wants to help the people, climate refugees. So it's all connected. She's still involved in school strike. School strike still goes on. But she
was a schoolgirl at the time, but she's not a schoolgirl anymore.
No, she's now at uni and she's third year medicine, because she wants, like I wanted to learn the skills of animal nursing, she wants to learn to be a doctor so she can help the climate refugees and her people and all people. So they are all amazing.
Say her people, so she's Muslim.
Pakistan Muslim. But it's just the climate refugees around the world, where climate change is impacting so many of the poorer countries. And she's Pakistani, but you know, and Muslim, but she also is very impassioned by the people that are the victims, who have done nothing to cause this, the ones that are going to lose their land and homes and villages as the levels of water rise, right? So she's just now, she's educating herself further so she can help on that level. So, you know, there are so many, get informed, get engaged, get educated. get active, do it all, make a difference. Believe that the ripple effects, I see it, honestly, ripple effects. You, from what we all do, how that plays out in your own community and beyond, never doubt the positivity, what can come from the ripple effects of what you do. Every single one of us.
We've run out of time. about a time you've been listening to Accentuate the Positive on 107.7 and 105.3 FM streaming out of New Orleans. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to hearing what people think and say about the movie. If you watch it, let me know. I want to hear what you're thinking about the movie. Thanks again, Michelle. Thanks so much.
Thank
for coming
you.
On.
See ya.
Thanks again for listening and watching. I look forward to chatting to you next time. Who have I got coming up? I haven't even tuned into that. Bye for now.